How do you do? The man in this story was a junk collector, not the kind of junk you might want to buy, the kind you want to be rid of, the kind of junk that burdens your soul with pointless experiences and destroys a marriage. But he traded the junk for treasure when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Here's the divorce papers, Levi. Sign here.
I won't sign, Elise. I don't want a divorce.
You can't stop this. I won't stay married to a dishonest, unfaithful man.
Please forgive me and let's start over. I promise to be faithful.
I'll never trust you again.
We've been together since we were 17, Elise. Don't throw it all away.
You lied to me all those years, all those affairs.
They meant nothing to me. You're the only woman I've ever loved.
You should have thought of that before, Levi. Whether you sign or not, I'm moving out of this apartment. I will get the divorce.
This is Unshackled, the award-winning dramatic series of true life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It isn't just a lack of money that leads to being homeless. Often, it's a lack of moral purpose, of choosing the wrong road in life. But when they come to Pacific Garden Mission, they learn a new way to live. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission provides food, fresh clothing, and shelter. A safe place to shed their false ideas and soak in truth. The Mission Medical and Dental Clinic takes care of physical hurts, while pastors and counselors take care of spiritual pain, the kind that led to darkness and decay of the soul. Each guest hears the good news of God's grace that washes away guilt and shame, giving real purpose to life. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3136 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
There's Eric. He can carry these boxes.
He doesn't want to.
He's big enough and old enough. 11 is not a baby.
It's not that. He doesn't want you to leave. He said he won't lift a finger to help.
At least Elaine is excited.
She's too young to understand the ramifications.
Have you told them why I'm going?
We told them together, remember?
You better not tell them lies about me.
You know I wouldn't do that, Elise.
I don't know you at all, Levi. You're not the man I thought you were, and you're not the man you pretended to be.
Sinful passions had destroyed the marriage of the man in this story. Due to sensitive issues that young children might not understand, we suggest parents use caution in letting them listen to this conclusion of the true testimony of a man we call Levi right now on Unshackled.
My wife and I were living in her homeland in Scandinavia when I confessed my adultery. Elise worked irregular hours at the airport for an international airline, so the children lived with me when she left. 2003 was a bad year for me. I lost my wife, then I lost my job, so I took one leading a discussion class in English at an adult education center. But in the process, I shared the trauma in my life. So, what do you think? Is a person responsible for his own decisions, or do you blame society for molding him a certain way? Well, for example, I'm going through a divorce. Is it fair to blame the culture around me for promoting divorce as a good thing?
God gave us free will. He said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live.
Is that in the Bible?
Yes, in the book of Deuteronomy.
Interesting. Well, we know where God stands. It's a very sad thing, isn't it? You go into marriage thinking it's forever, but 50% of marriages end in divorce. All right, well, time is up. Write your essays, and I'll see you next class.
I'm sorry to hear about your divorce, Mr. Carlson.
It's mostly my fault, but it's so unfair to our children.
Trust in the Lord and he will guide you through this calamity.
I'm afraid it's too late. My wife has already moved out of the house. The divorce is final.
What about your children?
We tried having them go back and forth each week, but that didn't work, so they stay with me.
This is not the Lord's will, but he can still work in this situation.
I'm afraid I've lost her trust. Completely lost her trust.
You carry a burden of guilt about this.
It's my fault.
I have a book that can help you. I'll bring it next time. The author explains how to give your burdens to Christ. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
The guilt does wear you down.
In the book of John, there was a woman caught in adultery, and she was brought to Jesus, and he said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." They all walked away. And then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more."
Each week I look forward to talking with that woman in my class. Her conversation led to convictions in my heart that I couldn't ignore. She gave me a book that revealed how my sins looked before a holy God and my complicity in our failed marriage. She and her husband encouraged me to attend a men's discipleship group. It was life-changing.
Yes, that book is excellent.
I never realized that God knows everything, every thought.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
I'm afraid he's beheld more evil than good in me.
Levi, the Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one.
When a couple gets married, they bring a lot of baggage to the altar.
Unless they leave it at the cross.
Yeah, I never did that. And I had a lot of hidden sin. I actually believe that an open relationship would improve our life.
You were just trying to justify your own behavior.
Yes. I didn't think my passion for porn was hurting anyone.
Pornography degrades the purpose God has for our bodies. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. God says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body."
I didn't know that. I just repeated the same sin over and over. My wife hates me for my sins, even though she's not perfect.
Here, read what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3.
"And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Ouch. That hits home.
Yeah, for all of us.
Well, how do you take a beam out of your own eye?
You don't. God does if you ask him to. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you."
I've tried to give up pornography, but I can't. It's a lifelong habit.
The psalmist says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake."
I want to believe that I can be free of this, but whenever I'm alone, the desires are greater.
In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The application of God's word will set you free. Pornography is a lure of the devil. He uses it to destroy lives.
Oh, it sure destroyed mine. God has shown me that I must forsake porn and adultery. I must wait for my wife to return to me. What a great group of men. They listened and counseled and prayed with me. During that time, I met a family that was similar to mine, adultery that was leading to a divorce. They introduced me to a small church where I faithfully attended. It was there that I totally repented to God for my sins, asked him to save me, and new life was born in me. Later, as I was baptized, I shared with the members the joy of eternal forgiveness and the peace of God. The men's discipleship group was thrilled also.
Praise God.
Oh, I heard many of these biblical truths as I grew up, but I hardened my heart to them. Oh, I wasted so many years.
God's timing is perfect, Levi. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out."
In my devotions, I read in Matthew where Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Throughout my life, I chose idol gods. I realized now that even my wife was an idol to me. I wanted to please her, and when I couldn't, I turned to porn, my other idol.
The Lord has certainly changed you, Levi. Memorize 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
All things become new for sure. I even started a new job this week, working for a global package delivery firm.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm praying for Elise. Not that she'll come back to me, that she will come to Jesus for salvation, as I have.
That's good, Levi. Even if your marriage isn't restored, he can heal your family through salvation and use all of you for his glory.
You think so?
Yes.
We remained in Scandinavia, where I was promoted at work. I bought an apartment near Elise, but her world was closed to me. I learned to pray for directions for my life, but also for many friends who needed the Lord and for my children. As I grew in the Lord, Elaine, my 13-year-old daughter, professed faith in Christ, but my son Eric remained aloof. Eric, would you like to live in the U.S. again?
Definitely.
Elaine wants the same thing.
Well, where is she tonight?
Youth meeting at church.
That's not for me, Dad.
Well, it's really for everybody, Eric. But I won't push you. I know that I can trust God with you.
Yeah, good.
Well, I think you should experience what life is like in the United States, including school. So we need to move soon since you'll only have a few more years of high school.
Cool. Hey, let's go to New England, where you grew up.
Okay. I'll see if the company can transfer me there.
They do business in the U.S., don't they?
Yeah. They have offices all over the states.
Are you going to sell this apartment then?
Yes.
What does Mom say about that?
I haven't asked her yet, but we'll have to get her permission.
Most of the time, she's too busy to spend time with us anyway.
Before approaching Elise about leaving Scandinavia, I decided to make one last try at reconciliation. I bought a new engagement ring and invited her to go with me to Tivoli to ride the Ferris wheel. Then, I asked the operator to stop the wheel at the top. We were the only passengers that afternoon, so he obliged.
This is always so magical, being up here, seeing the town like this.
Yes. Elise, there's something I want to ask you.
What are you doing, Levi?
I still love you very much, Elise, and I bought you a new engagement ring. Will you marry me again? Elise? I didn't mean to make you cry, honey. Honey, what's wrong?
In a moment, we'll hear the outcome of Levi's proposal. How is it possible to take a beaten-down husk of a man of almost any age and transform him into a confident one who is vibrant with life? They know the answer at Pacific Garden Mission. The men's division there sees that kind of change on a regular basis. Since 1877, the mission has used Bible study, counseling, and prayer to change men's hearts because out of the heart are the issues of life. They come to the mission owing debts they cannot pay, everything from alimony to taxes. But the biggest debt is spiritual, the sin debt from a life without God, and the men's division aims to correct that fatal flaw, putting them on a new course, guiding them as they learn new ways. It isn't easy, and some turn aside, but those who persevere reap benefits they never imagined. God promises that my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. To learn more about the men's division, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
You invited me to ride the Ferris wheel for fun, Levi. That was a shock.
I didn't mean to upset you, Elise, but I had to try one more time to bring our family back together before...
Before what?
The kids and I want to move back to the States.
Permanently?
Nothing is permanent. But they'd like to go to the school there just as you did. After all, they are Americans.
I remember that year as an exchange student.
So, what do you think about letting them leave?
You have to let them come back during the summer and at Christmas.
Sure. I was hoping you'd come with us. That's why I proposed.
It's too late for us, Levi.
Not with the Lord, Elise. He's given me a new life, new direction, new purpose.
I like my life the way it is. This is my home.
Every day I carry the guilt of wrecking our marriage and family.
You'll find someone else, Levi.
I don't want anyone else. I love you, Elise.
I will never give my heart to anyone again.
She signed the papers letting the children leave, but my heart was heavy with guilt at splitting our family, even though Elise spent little time with the children. Then, I called my sister in California.
Hello?
Hey, sis, it's me.
Levi, how's the family?
Okay. The kids and I are planning to come back to the States.
Where to?
Not sure yet. Wherever the company has a job opening.
Closer than you are now.
I have to sell the apartment here first.
No chance of reconciliation with Elise?
No.
Well, at least she's willing to let them move.
Yes, her family's upset and I feel guilty about it all, but we're moving anyway.
Good.
Listen, I'd like the kids to start school at the beginning of the year, not enter in the middle from a foreign country. Could they stay with you and get started if the apartment doesn't sell?
Of course.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'll bring them in late August if it doesn't sell. The apartment didn't sell that summer. So in mid-August, I flew with my son and daughter to San Diego, where my sister and her family lived.
The kids seem to accept all the changes, Levi.
They're good kids, both of them.
Well, they're registered now in school, so are you going back overseas?
First, I have to visit some company offices around the country and see if I can land a job. You know, transfer here.
Oh, that is a lot to take on. An international move, a new job, new home.
The psalmist says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death."
You weren't always so religious.
I'm not religious now. God has saved me, and I love the Lord and trust Him to guide me. I flew to offices in Ohio, Florida, New York, even Connecticut, but I received no job offers. So I returned to Scandinavia. Autumn was gray and dismal, and I prayed fervently for the apartment to sell so I could join my children. Every week, the men's group prayed with me. December came.
Levi, good to see you.
Hey, you too.
Any offers on the apartment?
Yes, at last.
Oh, praise God. Yeah. Tell us about it.
The buyer wants to move in before Christmas, so I'll have to find a place to live until I get a job in the U.S.
The Lord will provide. He always does.
Absolutely.
What do you hear from your children, Levi?
We keep in touch by internet. It's so odd. They're halfway around the world, and yet I hear from them often. Well, Elise lives 500 meters from me, and I never see her.
Oh, does that bother you?
Some. I keep hoping she'll knock on my door, but she never does.
Trust in the Lord. He always gives His best to those who lead the choice with Him.
I've resolved not to pursue her any longer. Only the Lord can bring us back together. And if He wants it to happen, nothing can stop it.
Yes. Brothers, shall we open in a prayer?
Yes.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Levi, would you like to start?
Lord, thank you so much for bringing a buyer from my apartment. You are my strength and shield. You go before us and behind us, making our path straight. There is no God but you, O Lord. A Christian brother invited me to share his apartment, just a stone's throw from Elise, but I never saw her. 2008 came and I worked every day at gaining a transfer to the U.S. The men's group supported me in prayer. Finally, there was an opening in the South, and I asked the Lord, why Mississippi?
Why Mississippi?
I asked God the same thing, but it's the only job available.
How soon are you coming, Dad?
Easter Sunday. Now, I'll land in New York and rent a truck to pick up our shipment of household goods, then drive straight to Jackson.
I'll have to look at a map, see where it is.
I'll find an apartment near the high school, then put our stuff in storage, exchange the truck for a rental car, and drive to California to get you and your sister.
Oh, great, Dad.
The first person I met in Mississippi was a Christian at the storage company who told me about nearby churches. The South was rich in Christian fellowship, and I began to realize why the Lord led me to Mississippi. As planned, I drove to California to get my son and daughter.
You must be exhausted, Levi.
Oh, I'm tired, but it's good to be home again.
Did you find an apartment, Dad?
Yes, walking distance to school.
Great. California is totally dependent on cars.
Where's Elaine?
Oh, where else? In church. She's really into that youth group thing.
Hey, I'm sorry to pull you out of school and away from your friends.
They made a lot of friends here.
Did you talk to Mom before you left?
No, after you kids left, she, had no reason to talk to me. In the suburb where we lived, we found a solid Bible-teaching church near home, one that even my son liked and attended regularly, and I felt better about our move to Mississippi. But there was a distraction in the neighborhood. Where's your sister?
Out talking with Johnny.
I think she has a crush on him.
Yeah, and he's not the right kind of guy for her.
Oh, why do you say that?
He smokes, he stays out half the night, doesn't seem to have any rules about curfew.
I had the same feeling about him. Glad it wasn't my imagination.
Why don't you tell her to stay away from him?
Better yet, I'll suggest she invite him to church. In response to the invitation, the young man said, "Yeah, maybe." But he never went with us. I knew my kids were going back to Scandinavia to see their mother in a few months, so I didn't make a stand. I drove them to Dallas for their flight, and when I returned home, someone had broken into our apartment and stolen electronic equipment.
How much was stolen, Dad?
Oh, about $3,000 worth of stuff. My laptop, your video games.
Oh, no.
But because you saved the serial numbers, the police traced the stolen goods to a pawn shop, and they arrested both thieves.
Oh, thank God. Who were they?
A young man in the apartment above us and the guy Elaine had a crush on.
You're kidding.
No. They're in jail, and I think they'll stay there a while.
Oh, that's sad.
Yes, it is. I've been praying for them, that God will use this to bring them to Jesus. My son's faith was established there in Mississippi. God had a divine purpose for sending us there. He got involved with the food ministry and made friends with other believers. But my company was losing money and my job was eliminated as they moved out of the U.S. market. I took a job as a lab manager with an optical company, but I was way out of my league. Any idea what you're going to do when you graduate, son?
Join the Coast Guard.
Really?
Yeah, I like Mississippi. I like to settle down here someday.
Oh, I'm glad, but in the meantime, I'm thinking about moving back to Connecticut.
Elaine will be glad to hear that.
Yeah, the company has optical outlets up there so I can transfer.
When are we going to move?
Next summer, after you graduate.
Have you told Elaine?
Not yet, but she's not attached to living here.
Well, she won't care as long as you find a high school that teaches German.
She's really gone close to that German pen pal of hers, hasn't she?
Yeah, he's all she talks about.
I felt that way about your mother when we first met. She came to my high school and I was mesmerized by her beauty.
I think you still are, Dad.
She was the love of my life, son. And I foolishly lost her. But that's in the Lord's hands now. After my son shipped off to Coast Guard boot camp in 2009, we moved to Ashford, Connecticut, where one of the few high schools offered German. My kids and their goals were more important to me than anything, except the Lord. Elaine spent the summer with her mother. Hello?
Hello, Levi.
Elise! Yes, all she talks about is her German friend.
I arranged for them to meet while she was here.
She calls him the love of her life.
I hope it lasts.
Oh, she's awfully young.
We were the same age.
True.
Remember how we stayed up all night talking the first night we met?
Yes. Till I met you, I never had a friend I could talk with like that.
Me neither.
Now I have the Lord. I don't know what I'd do without him.
How is Eric doing?
Just fine. He's stationed right in the New York Harbor.
To be an exchange student in Germany next year.
I know, I'll miss her, but that's a great experience to have. And her friend comes from a Christian family.
I approve of him. 100%.
Let's hope he lives up to that. My daughter is now in Germany for the year as an exchange student, but both she and her friend know what the Bible says about remaining pure until marriage. I've begun a teaching internship so I can teach school. Elise and I talk now and then, mostly about our children. I pray for her salvation, because there is no friend like Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And it's true.
Listening friend, there's no other way to heaven, no other way to forgiveness for your sin than at the cross. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you would like to be made the righteousness of God with your sins washed away, become his child by repenting of your sins. You can pray with us now. God, I am a sinner. I repent of my sins against you. I believe Jesus died as payment for my sins, that he rose from the dead and lives to save me now. Thank you for his sacrifice and for giving me the gift of eternal life that I can never earn. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and make me like you. In your name I pray. Amen. Let us know you prayed. We'll send you some literature to help you walk in new life. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. I have been unshackled through your program. I love your show and am so grateful that you were there when I needed to be free. A listener emailed us. We hope you convey these sentiments to the manager of this radio station. Just say, "Keep broadcasting Unshackled." This is program number 3136. Heard in part two of the true story of a man we called Levi were Steve Bayorgin, Tricia Grennan, Adam Sweeters, Jane Hahnemann, and Michael Wolner. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloisio. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script by Kenitha Gabler. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Troubled? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.